Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanihim Began Eden. Amen. Daf Lamed Chet. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Rabbi Baruch Rafael Ben Miriam. Today's daf is being studied. Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihem Began Eden. Amen. We are beginning actually on Lamed Zayin Amud Rishon, on the bottom line. The last subject that we discussed in yesterday's Gemara was different foods that are mitztamek v'yafeh lahem or mitztamek v'ra' lahem. For example, we said that when you have flour in a food, so that causes it to become its tamek vera. The more you leave it on the fire, the worse it gets. So really the Gemara now just gives us a few more things that would be considered its tamek vera lahim. Lafta, daisa, v'tamre, its tamek vera lahim. Lafta, as she says, that's a food that they made from figs. Daisa is like cereal or porridge that they would leave on the fire. And tamre is dates. All these three things have something in common. Mitztamek v'ra' lahim. The more you keep it on, the worse they get. And now we really start the beginning of today's sugya. Ba'u minem mirabi hiya bar abba. Let's remember the names here. They asked Rabbi Chiya bar Abba a question. Shachach kedera al gabe kira ubishla b'shabbat mahu. The question was, you forgot a pot on the oven, on the kira. You forgot it there. Ubishla b'shabbat, and it cooked through the Shabbat. Mahu, what's the deen? Can you eat the food? Now, obviously you did something wrong. And the question is, you did something wrong on Erev Shabbat. You were not allowed to put this food on the Kirah for some reason. You did it. Now the question, they said, alright, the guy did it. Can he eat the food? Do we penalize him, so to speak, and say that since you made an Isur, you can't eat the food? Now, we have to figure out now, always based on Shitat Hananya or Shitat Hachamim, we have to figure out in what context was this question asked. So we really have these two options. We can either say the question is being asked according to Hachamim. According to Hachamim, in order to make Shehiyah, the oven, the Kirah, has to be Garuf or Katum. So the question over here could be saying, let's say you didn't make Garuf. But what coal's there? Well, the rabbis really don't allow you to keep stuff on the oven. That's not Garuf. You did it. Shachach. You forgot it. You left it there. So the question is, are the rabbis going to penalize you in not allowing you to eat that food? If you're subscribed to Hananya's opinion, so then the question is as follows. Hananya, exactly. Hananya allowed you to place food on Erev Shabbat, even if there was coals there. Shehiyaz mutar, according to Hananya. Even if it's in or Garuf. But he had one condition. It has to be at least ma'achal ben drosai. It's got to have the minimal level of edibility to it, which is what? Ma'achal ben drosai. But if it's less than that, even Hananya was osir. So that's the question according to Hananya. If a guy went and put food on a kira that was in ogaruf, and it was less than ma'achal ben drosai, you shouldn't have done it. He did it. Shachach. He forgot. He left it there. Now, on Shabbat, can I eat the food or can I eat the food? Do I penalize the guy or not? That's the question that was asked to Rav Chiya bar Abba. So the Gemara says, Ishtik vela amarle vela mide. His first answer was, he remained silent. He didn't say anything. He didn't respond. Lemachar, the next day, Nafak darash lehu. He went out and he made the following derasha. and he said, "Hamevashel b'Shabbat." The guy cooks on Shabbat. This is a little different case. This is where he's actually going to cook. Takes a piece of meat and puts it on the barbecue. Hamevashel b'Shabbat b'Shogeg. If it was just Shogeg, meaning either if he thought it was Shabbat or he forgot that you weren't allowed to cook, Yachil. Then already the food is edible. You could eat the food. They didn't knas him. Bemezid, no yachil. But if the guy did it on purpose, he knew it was Shabbat, and he knew that you don't have to cook, and he went anyway, and he put the food on the barbecue, so then already, no yachil. That's already hakamim. Or kones the guy, you cannot eat that food. Velashena. And then he said two more words in his statement. And it doesn't make a difference. Now, what were these extra two words, velashena? So he was saying, but when it comes to the case of shachach, and you left something on the kira before Shabbat, in that case, it doesn't make a difference. Meaning there's no difference between shogeg and mezid. Now, that's a vague statement. There's no difference, meaning what? It's both mutar or both asur. Which is mevashel b'Shabbat. We're making a difference between if you were shogeg or mezid. Shogeg yachel, mezid lo yachel. Good. That is velashena. When it comes to our situation of forgetting shehiyah ahead of Shabbat, in that case, lashena there is no difference. So now the rabbis are going to argue in what Rav Chiya bar Abba meant. Rabba v'Rav Yosef d'Amri tarvayhu le'etera. Rabba and Rabbi Yosef come along and say, yes, both Shogeg and Mezid in the case of making Shehiyah b'Isur on Erev Shabbat, Mutar. Shogeg is Mutar, Mezid is Mutar. And he gives a logic. What's his logic? Mevashel u'deka'avid ma'aseh. Mevashel. The guy's actually doing an action. He's putting the steak on the barbecue. That's an action. B'Mezid lo yachel. That's why b'Mezid, we penalize the guy, you cannot eat that food. But here where you didn't do an action, which means here all you did was, it was inaction. Erev Shabbat, you're allowed to put stuff on the fire, you have to cook Erev Shabbat, it's just that you left it there. So you were passive. It was a passive action, which means it's passive inaction. You just left it there. So you know what? We're not going to penalize them. Which means, when it comes to cooking on Shabbat, they're already b'mezid, we have to be strict with the guy. But he went actually, took a piece of food, he put it on the fire. That's an action. Makes sense to say b'mezid, asur. Now she'enken, over here, in our case, you forgot something on the fire ahead of Shabbat. You left it there. That's passive. So that's not so bad. Therefore b'mezid will say, it's okay. So that's the first way of learning of Hayyab al-Abbas statement, Lashena. Lashena Shogeg, Lashena Mezid, Mutar. That is Rabbah, the Rabbi Yosef's answer. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar, the Isura. They say no. Shogeg and Mezid is really both Asur. Even Shogeg is Asur. I mean, you forgot it. You were totally unintentional. You just forgot it there by mistake. Doesn't matter. Asur. What's the logic? Mevashel udelo atele arume b'shogeg yachel. By cooking where we don't suspect that the man is going to come and trick, then b'shogeg will say it's okay. What do you mean trick? We're allowing somebody that, let's say by mistake, b'shogeg, unintentionally, he placed food on the barbecue, let's say. So he said what? B'shogeg yachel. We don't suspect that if we let him eat this food, next week he'll come along and put it on the fire on purpose and come along and tell us, oh yeah, I did it by mistake. We don't suspect that that's going to happen because lo hashudim Yisrael al Hilul Shabbat. The Jewish people are not suspect to make blatant Hilul Shabbat like that. So there's no reason to make a gezerah on Shogeg. Which means, you might have thought, listen, if you tell the guy he can eat this meat over here when he was unintentional, when he was shogeg, maybe next week he'll use that to his advantage. And he'll come along now and cook food on Shabbat and come along and tell everybody, oh yeah, it was my mistake I did it, and therefore it's, you can eat it. And there's no reason to suspect such a thing. Am Yisrael is not suspected to be such blatantly over on Chilul Shabbat. However, aval hai, but in this case of Shehiyah, the law of Shehiyah is only Drabbanan. The whole law of what you're allowed to leave on the Kira before Shabbat, what you're not allowed to leave, it's only rabbinical. It's rabbinical gezerot. De'atil ya'rumeh, and therefore over here the guy might come to trick, he might come to play games. Why? B'shogeg namelo ya'chel, which means if you allow the guy here, if you allow the guy b'shogeg, which means he forgot, which means he made a mistake, if you let him eat the food, what is he doing next week? Next week he's going to go on purpose, leave the food there, and he'll come along and say, oh, I forgot again. Okay, well, we can eat it. And we'll suspect him for that, because that's not a biblical transgression. That's a rabbinical transgression. So, okay, a guy might rationalize in order to get his food to be eaten. He'll do it even on purpose and come to say with shogeg. So therefore, according to this opinion, this is Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, he says, Shnehem Ne'isur. So that's basically, we have a machloket. Mevasher, there's a difference between shogeg and mezid. Shachach, by shehiyah, we have a machloket between Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef. They hold Rabban Rabbi Yosef Shnehem Nehetera. Ben Shogeg Ben Mezid. And we have Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says Shnehem Neisur. Metibet. So now the Gemara has a question as a Braita. The Braita says the following. Shakach Ketera Agabe Kira Ubishla B'Shabbat. Oh, that's exactly our case. Forgot. He left the Ketera on the Kira. Ubishla B'Shabbat. And it cooked through the Shabbat. That's our scenario we're talking about. So it says, "Beshogeg ya'achel, b'mezid lo ya'achel." And clearly we have a deen now. The deen is telling us, is a difference between shogeg and mezid. So now the Gemara just goes into what we're talking about, what type of food. B'medevarim amurim. What are we talking about over here that we have an issue? B'chamin shelo hamu kol tzorkan. We're talking about hamin liquid, or for that matter, tafshil, a regular food that was not fully cooked. Why? Because that's really asur to put it on a, let's say, a fire that's enogaruf, according to hachamin. And instead, you did it, which you shouldn't have done it, because really it's not fully cooked, and therefore you have a problem. Aval hamin shuhamu kol tzorkan, but if the hamin was fully cooked, v'tavshil shebishel kol tzorko, or the tavshil, the food was fully cooked, ben b'shogeg, ben b'mezid ya'achel. Then we're lenient. Then whatever you want to do, it's okay, because it's permissible. Which means if it's fully cooked, you have no problem according to the hachamin regarding shehiyah. When did the rabbis forbid shehiyah on the night of Shabbat? Only on items that were not fully cooked yet. But if the item is fully cooked, you have no problem. Devrei Rabbi Meir. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. No. Hamin shuhamu kotzurkan mutarin. Hamin, if it's liquid, if it's fully cooked, no problem. You can leave it on a oven that's eno garuf. Nipteshim istamek v'ra'lo. You know why? Because liquid, the more you leave it on the fire, it gets worse. Because it evaporates. So then what Rabbi Yehuda says, for sure, Hamin, you never have a problem on Eno Garuf. However, if Tavshir should be Shel Kol Tzorko, but by a food that's fully cooked, you have a problem. Asur. Why? Because generally foods get better as you leave them on the fire. But for that matter, anything that's Mistamek V'Yafelo that gets smaller, condenses as it gets better. Kegon, Kiruv. Kiruv would be, let's say, the cabbage. Ufulim, fulim are beans. Ubasar taruf, basar taruf would be minced meat. Asur, all these things are asur. Gemara says minced meat because you're not going to serve that to your guests. We learned that in that case, when you have guests, since the meat gets all shriveled, even though it might taste better, however, it's not presentable, therefore it's considered mitztamek v'ra'lo, because he doesn't want to serve it like that. But if you're alone, we're talking about minced meat, the guy will eat it for himself, that already is considered mitztamek v'yafelo, because the longer it cooks, the better it gets. V'chol ha-mitztamek v'ra'lo mutar. But Rabbi Yehuda goes and repeats the statement, but if it's mitztamek v'ra'lo mutar, So there's a few statements said in this Braita. The first statement in the Braita is, number one, if you forgot, you left something that you shouldn't have left on the Kira, there's a difference between Shogeg and Mezid. That's the general deen. Then the Hakamim discuss, the Biudah and the Bimi discuss, what is that something that you weren't allowed to leave? So the Bimi'ir says, oh, we're talking about something that was not fully cooked yet. Because the Bimi'ir says, once it's fully cooked, whether it's Hameen, whether it's Tavshil, no deen of Shehiyah. Why? Fully cooked. And the Bimi'ir is not making a difference between Mitztamek Vetovlo or Mitztamek Vera'lo. Even if it's Mitztamek Vyafelo, according to the Bimi'ir, he's saying no problem. Because bottom line, it is cooked. So our Sheila over here is talking about you did something Bi'isur. That must be it's less than fully cooked. But according to the Bimi'ir, once it's fully cooked, no problem. Rabbi Yehuda, the other day, is a little more strict. He comes along and says, no, even something that's fully cooked, but it gets better, it's mitztamek v'yafelo, even that is a problem of shiya. So then we see a secondary machloket here between the Bi Yehuda and the Bi Meir, what exactly is permissible with shiya and what is not permissible. So really this is a continuation, this is a very important Vlaita on its own when we discuss our issues of Shehiyah. Here you're getting already opinions of what type of foods. We're getting into the details now. What type of foods? Foods that get better? The Bimi says, fully cooked, I have no problem. So the Bimi is a little more lenient in this sense, that the Bimi is telling you once the food is fully cooked, Shehiyah is not a story. And his logic would be obviously because you're not going to stoke. It's fully cooked. What do I have to stoke for? Oh, but see, to get better? To get better, that's not my concern. What it be with that says, no, food that gets better, there's a logic to say that you might stoke. Therefore, you have issues of shiya. But the bottom line is we see clearly there is a difference between shogeg and mezid regarding if you forgot. The Gemara says, now, ketani mihat. We have the partial quotation of that braita that we just quoted. Tavshil shelo bishel kotzorko. Let's take that case according to everybody. If it's not fully cooked yet, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, everybody holds shiya. If there's coals, if it's eno garut, is asur. That's clear. And what we do? We said even such a case, b'shogeg, if you forgot it, it's okay. You can eat it. B'mezid, if you did it, you can eat it. So now the Gemara says b'shtamal Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak lakasha. According to Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak that said, Shneem the Isura, Shogeg and Mezid is Isur. No question. Kan kodem gezera, kan nahar gezera. I can answer like this. The Gemara is going to tell us momentarily that there was a gezera made by the later rabbis that Shogeg, if you left something on the fire, be Shogeg, Me'ayid of Shabbat, the rabbis came along and forbade it. But it was a later gezerah, implying that at an earlier time, shogeg was okay. But the rabbis saw people taking advantage, so they also tacked on shogeg being asur. So we have a little history here. There was a kodem gezerah period, and there was a lahar gezerah period. Once we know that, we can answer Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak very nicely. And I can say like this, the Braita is Tanaim. This is the Braita that we just quoted. Well, Tanaim are earlier. So there were kodem gezerah. Kodem gezerah, before the rabbis made their gezerot, they said, if you made a mistake, you did it b'shogeg, mutar. You left it b'shogeg, okay. You did it b'mezid, asur. Kodem gezerah. When Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak said, shneem the isur, shogeg asur, mezid asur, I could say he was post gezerah. Therefore, I could put the braita and Rav Nachman bar Yitzhak's statement in different periods. I could put one pre-gezerah, that's the bright over here, that shogeg is mutar. And I can say that Nachman bin Yitzhak, when he was talking, actually it's really the Chiyah bar Abba. We want to be precise, because he was the one that said la shena. Rav Nachman was only explaining the Chiyah bar Abba. I can say he was after the gezerah. Very good, so he's fine. However, Ela Rabbah the Rav Yosef the Amri Lehetera. There we're going to have an issue. Rabbah the Rav Yosef that said, Ben Beshogeg, Ben Bebezid, mutar. That's going to be a difficult issue here to reconcile. Why? Let's do the same thing. Let's play it with before gezerah, after gezerah. Well, Gemara says no, it doesn't work so good. Why? Ikodem gezerah. If you're going to tell me that, well, the brayta we know is kodem gezerah, and if you're going to tell me that Rav Chaya bar Abba's statement was also kodem gezerah, so everything is kodem gezerah, kashya mezid. So we have a contradiction on the mezid case. Why? Because Rabba and Rabbi Yosef said, Bebezid, they said in their statement, Bebezid, mutar. Right? They said, Shnehen, hetera. Shogeg is mutar, mezid mutar. We have a bright there that clearly says mezid is asur. So that's not going to work out. If you say everything is kodem gezerah. Ila har gezerah. Oh, so why don't you make Rabba and Rabbi Yosef after the gezerah? Well, then we have a bigger problem. Kasha name shogeg. Then we have a problem on shogeg as well. Because after the gezerah, shogeg should be asur, and they said shogeg is mutar. Besides mezid for sure should be asur. Mezid is a question regardless, because the brightness of mezid is asur. So therefore, we're really stuck with this braita in this reconciling Rabba and Rabbi Yosef's statement, and the Gemara leaves it off as kasha. All right, that's a kasha. You can't reconcile Rabba and Rabbi Yosef with this braita. So therefore, they're knocked out, so to speak. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, however, can fit in. Based on what? Kodem gezerah, lachar gezerah. The Gemara just tells what the gezerah was. My gezerta, what was this gezerah? The Amar of Yehuda bar Shemuel, Amar of Abba, Amar of Kahana, Amar Rav. Betchila hayu omri, mebeshel b'shabbat b'shogeg yachel. B'mezid lo yachel. Originally, Hakamim said, if you cooked on Shabbat, if you were shogeg, you could eat the food. B'mezid lo yachel. V'uadin l'shocheyach. And they said the same thing applies if a guy forgot, did shehiyah b'isur? Same thing. Shogeg, you can eat the food. Mezid, you can't eat the food. M'sherabbu mashin b'mezid. And all of a sudden, a lot of people started to be mesher, make shehiyah b'mezid, meaning b'isur. And what were they saying? Ve'omrim. And they would say, oh, we forgot. The rabbi saw, by allowing them to eat this food, it's causing problems. Hazru vekansu ala shokhayah. So they went, and they said, you know what? Shogeg is also asur. So that already is very good. We can explain that when Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak above made his statement, ben shogeg, ben mezid asur, he was talking after the gezerah. Beautiful. Shogeg is asur, mezid is asur. I got a braita that says shogeg is mutar. Right, that was before the gezerah. That's no problem. So that fits in. So now the Gemara moves to a different subject. In that braita that we just quoted, we saw very important shitot here, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, explaining to me what you're allowed to put on an oven that's not garuf. For example, Rabbi Meir said, once it's fully cooked, you're okay. Even if it's mitstamek v'yafelo. That's Rabbi Meir. He said, Hamin shuhamu kol tzurkan, tavshil bishlu kol tzurkan, mutar. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, he was the most strict. He said, no, even tavshil shebishlu kol tzurkan, if it's mitstamek v'yafelo, you can't leave it on an oven that is in or garuf. That's really the mahlokat in the bright between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Only problem is, on Lamed Zayin Amud Rishon, we already had these rabbis in another Braita. We had Rabbi Meir earlier, and we had Rabbi Yehuda earlier. They were actually defining to us the same question, what you're allowed to make Shiyah with. If you remember that Braita, boys, it was the Braita we learned yesterday, where you had two kirot hamat'imot, two kirot that were attached to each other. Says one had coals in it, the one next to it did not have coals in it. So the Gemara said you could put the stuff on the one that does not have the coals on it. Right? Mm-hmm. And the Gemara, the Braita asks, oh, you could put the stuff on the one that doesn't have coals on it. What do you put? Mahin machine. The Gemara said, well, what are you allowed to put? So we had a machlok din Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir, in discussing Bet Hillel's opinion, because they were discussing Bet Hillel and Bet Shammai's opinion, Rabbi Meir in Beit Hillel's opinion said, well, we'll allow you to put Hamin, but you can't put Tafshir. You can't put a Tafshir. Now, when it says Tafshir, you didn't make a difference on what level cooked. It sounds like even if it's fully cooked, he didn't allow you to put it even on the Eno Garuf. All the more so, I'm sorry, he didn't let you put it on the Garuf side even. All the more so if it's Eno Garuf. Of course, he's not going to... Now over here, however, the Bimir allows you, if it's fully cooked, no problem of Shia. So right away we have a contradiction in Rabbi Meir in the earlier Braita that forbade fully cooked items on Eno Garuf, and over here allows it. So the Gemara says, Kasha Rabbi Meir ad Rabbi Meir. We have a contradiction between the Bimir of this Braita and the previous Braita. Again, the contradiction is clear. In the earlier Braita, even fully cooked items, he was osir on a kira she'eno garuf. In this Braita, he clearly says tafshil is mutar. It's head-on collision. Gemara says, kasha d'Rabbi Yehuda d'Rabbi Yehuda. For that matter, it's a stira in the Yehuda d'Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Rabbi Yehuda earlier said, hamin and tafshil is permissible. Which means, if it's fully cooked, even if it's mitamek v'yafelo, Rabbi Yehuda holds, you have no problem of shehiya. Over here, he clearly said, if it's mitamek v'yafelo, you have problems of shehiya. So therefore, the Gemara says, kasha ad Rabbi Yehuda, ad Rabbi Yehuda. Let's read that in Nashi, gentlemen, so you have a more clarity. Let's read Nashi. You see kasha? Kasha Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir. Ditnan Le'el, because we learned above, that should probably say Ditanya Le'el, we learned above in the Braita, Beresh Perkin, Rabbi Meir Alibada Beit Hillel. Rabbi Meir, in explaining Beit Hillel's opinion, said what? Hamin Avalot Tavshil. He said no, Tavshil, fully cooked foods, are subject to the laws of Shia. And here clearly the Bimir said if it's fully cooked, no problem. There the Biyuda said anything's mutar. If it's fully cooked, mutar. But here the Biyuda said if it's fully cooked, mistamek v'yafelo, asur. Kasha the Bimir, the Bimir. Kasha the Biyuda, the Biyuda. Then when I answers, the Bimir, the Bimir, the Kasha. We can answer the Bimir. Halakha tahila ha di abad. Meaning, one case, the earlier Braita, where the Bimir was strict, where he said, if it's fully cooked, we don't want you putting it on kira she'eno garuf. Yeah, that was lekha tahila. Lekha tahila, if you come and ask the rabbi, he'll tell you, don't do it. That's what he meant in the earlier Braita. Lekha tahila. That is the original deen, don't do it. What are we talking about in this Braita? Bidi'abad. You did it. If you did it, then he's going to tell you, okay, you're allowed to eat the food. We're not going to be so strict. If you were shogeg, we'll tell you it's okay, you can eat the food. If it was bebezid, no. Over there he was giving you the deen. The deen is, Rabbi, I have an oven. It's eno garuf. Fully cooked food. Can I put it on? Ask Rabbi Meir. Rabbi says, "Ahas b'shalom." Lechatayla, even fully cooked food on an unbanked oven, eno garuf, you cannot put it on. Okay. But let's say I did it. Oh, that is brighter. Bidi abad, you did it. Okay, you did it. Bidi abad. Okay, no problem. You can eat the food if you were shogeg. Okay, that's the way we can reconcile Rabbi Meir's opinion. How are we going to explain Rabbi Yehuda? And Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Very easy. Earlier in the Braita, we were talking about placing it on the... There was two ovens, right? One had coals in it, one didn't have coals on it. Rabbi Yehuda, earlier, was discussing where you're putting food on the Eno Garuf side. I'm sorry, on the Garuf side. The oven, that the side of the oven that did not have the coals in it, the one that you made, garuf. Over here in this Braita, however, we're talking about where there is coals in it. So therefore, the Biyuda earlier is lenient. He lets you put Hamid in Tafshil. Why? Because it was talking about, it was Garuf. Garuf can be lenient. But over here, where it was talking about Eno Garuf, there's Braita. Eno Garuf, there's coals. So therefore, he was Osir to put Tafshil. Very simple reconciliation. Earlier we said the view that was lenient. Of course he was lenient. You were putting it on a garuf oven. Over here he was strict. You said, oh, fully cooked asur. Because we're talking about an oven that is in a garuf. So therefore, it comes out in conclusion, because this is really the conclusion of the shitot, it comes out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, on an eno garuf oven, it is forbidden to place foods that are fully cooked, which means mitzamek v'yafeh lahem, it's asur according to him, which means it's asur to him even b'di'avad. According to him, it's forbidden to put these items. However, the Bimeir is a little more lenient. The Bimeir will tell you, yeah, I agree, you shouldn't put it like a tahidah. But with the avad, if you put it, it's okay. So then we have a little more flexibility in the Bimeir than you have in the Biyuda. In any event, the Gemara now comes along and says, Ibayalehu, rabbis had a question. Avar v'shaha mai. This question needs to be analyzed. The Gemara asks, let's say a guy made Shehiyah. He went in and he made Shehiyah. What's the deen? What do you mean, what's the deen? What were we just discussing for the past Amud? I mean, that was the whole question. We went through this already. We had Rabbah and Rabbi Yosef, Shnehem Nehetera. We had Rahman and Yitzchak, Shnehem Nesura. We went through all the Shitot. Now the Gemara, as if it's oblivious to anything that just happened, ask this innocent question. I take a guy who, by mistake, or let's say, he made Shehiyah. What do we do? Can he eat the food or not eat the food? So the Ritba here, very important, explains this question. He says like this. Till now we're discussing where a guy, let's say, made a full-fledged Shehiyah. For example, let's take in the Biyuda's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was what? If it's mitzamek v'yafelo, he doesn't allow you to place it on a unbaked oven. Rabbi Yehuda, let's say, is machbir, right? So let's say, all right, you forgot it. You forgot it, forget it. We're machbir. We're machbir on that. Now the question is like this. Let's say you placed it Erev Shabbat. It's a mitzamek v'yafelo item. But you took it off before it became mitzvah v'yafeh lo. You didn't benefit from the mitzvah v'yafeh. Now that's a new twist. Which we still now we're discussing, you left it on Erev Shabbat, and you became mitzvah v'yafeh lo. Now the question is, do we penalize the guy, or don't we penalize the guy? How far you want to go being strict? Now Ray was saying that, it's a different case. This is a case over here where you put it on, you shouldn't have put it on Erev Shabbat. You put it on. Now, you never gave it a chance to reach the level of mitzvah v'yafelo. Because what'd you do? Before it got to mitzvah v'yafelo, you took it off. So we want to know, would a Yehuda be mahmir in such a case? Which means, in a case where you're telling me what? Where it's regular mitzvah v'yafelo, the Yehuda says you cannot put this on an oven, it's asur. Forbidden, you have no share. All right, if you were shogeg, okay, bimezid, asur, that was the braita. Bishogeg yachel, bimezid, lo yachel. Okay, I understand why I'm mahmid and the mezid over there. Because you shouldn't have put it on in the first place. It's mistamek v'yafel. And you went against the halakha, on purpose, bimezid, don't need it. Are we going to be so strict if a guy went bimezid in this case, and he put it on, but he took it off before it got mitzvah v'yafelo? That already, he didn't benefit from the leaving it on, so to speak. So the Gemara says, avar v'shaha mai. מי כנסו רבנן או לא? אז הגמרא אומרת, תשמע, דאמר שמואל בר נתן, אמר רב חנינא, כשהלך רבי יוסי לסיפורי, רבי יוסי ונת לסיפורי, מצא חמין שנשתהו על גבי קירה. He saw, he found there was חמין that was left on the kira, nishtau al gabe kira. I mean, it was placed on the kira from before Shabbat. Velo asad lahem. Oh, and he said, mutar, no problem, you can eat it. They left hamin, no problem, he put hamin before Shabbat. They left it on. Even let's say, for what, let's say, wasn't fully cooked before Shabbat. We really have, you shouldn't have made shiya. But at hamin, what's the deen? Mistamek vera'a lahem. It gets worse. Alright, they were lenient. However, Betzim Mitzum Makot, he saw eggs that they left on the fire before Shabbat. And the eggs were getting, you know, they were condensing, they were getting smaller as they were staying on the fire. Shinishtawa Gabekira, the Asar Lahim. And what did he do? He said, oh, these eggs over here, you're not allowed to eat. So what do you see over here? You see over here that he forbade it. My love, Loto Shabbat. And must be talking about he forbade them to eat it this, on that Shabbat. He said, hey, Rabotai, you put this on Be'isur. Now, let's analyze exactly the question, the case over here. Right? The assumption you have to say is eggs is a type of item that if you leave it on a fire, they'll get better. Mm-hmm. So that's really our question. So you have to bring a proof to a similar case. Now, we don't have details of this story. The story is just told us that the rabbi was there. It was the Biyoseh. He saw eggs that were on the fire. Now, the Ritba goes on to explain, we must say that when Rabbi Yosef said, don't eat the eggs, well, if they reached already the story of the level of Mistamek V'yafelahen, already they got better as a result, so you have no really proof to our question. But we're trying to figure out a case where you took it off before Mitztamek V'yafelahen. So you have to say that when they were giving him the eggs, they gave it to him before it reached Mitztamek V'yafelahen. But if they would have left it, it would have got to Mitztamek V'yafelahen. Exactly our question that it best is, where do you see that in the story that it did not reach Mitztamek V'yafelahen yet? So he says, because it says in the Gemara, Betzim Mitzrukut Shinishtahu Al Gabe Kira. It just says they remained on the Kira. It didn't say Shinishtahu V'nishtabihu. It didn't say that it stayed on the Kira and got better. It just seems that Shiyah was the issue. But it wasn't stay there long enough yet to get better. Also, that's exactly our story. Which means they put eggs on the fire before Shabbat. Even if the eggs were fully cooked, according to the Biyudah, you'll have to put these on the fire? Of course not. Eggs get better. The Kira was not Garuf. There was coals there. Now they offered the Biyoseh, Hakam, you want some of these eggs? No. And what was the story? They didn't reach yet Mitztamek V'yafelahen. So you see what? That even if it, your guy went B'mezid, even though it didn't reach Mitztamek, we're still going to Knas. Because he forbade it. The Gemara says no. No, no proof. L'Shabbat Habba'ah. When did he forbid them? When he said these eggs are asud? He meant next Shabbat. Meaning, this Shabbat, you did it already, eat it. But Rabotai, next Shabbat, don't put the eggs on the fire like this anymore. And that's a whole different story. Which is really, if you learn like this, really it's mutar to eat it. They weren't kones you. However, of course, in the Katayla, you cannot do it. So he was, when he said you can't eat the eggs, he didn't mean you can't eat them today. Today you can eat them. Now you did it already, it didn't reach the Mitztamek V'yafelahen level yet. We're not kones you. But please, next week, don't do this. Don't put eggs on the fire before Shabbat on an Enu Garuf oven because it's Mistamek V'yafelahen. Don't do this next week. Oh, but today? But I bet you did it. So you see what? From this story, we can say that really it is mutar. Only because it you didn't let it get better yet. But all would agree in the Biyudah, if you let it get better, you did it b'mezid. Vaday, what's the shayla? If you let it get better, then it rate Mitztamek V'yafelahen, b'mezid, whether it's before the Gezerah, after the Gezerah, b'mezid, we said, lo ya'achir. Now, Gemara got a side point now. Michlal, we imply here, the bitzim mitzum makot mitzamkot v'yafeh lahim. Side point. You see here that eggs, the longer you keep them on the fire, the better they get. Mean who they are. Gemara says, yeah, that's true. The Amar of Hama b'chayinah, pa mahanet achavti ani v'rabi l'makom echad. Says one time, ani v'rabi, we were guests in a place, v'eviyu l'fenu, they brought in front of us, bitzim mitzum makot, ke'uzradin. They brought us eggs that became mitzum makot, that they was cooked so long, and they became so small, they were like uzradin. Uzradin like these small apples. Meaning the egg became so small, like a small little apple. V'achalu mehen arbeh. And we ate a lot of them. Implying what? They were tasty. So David, what do you see? Eggs, the longer you keep them on the fire, mitztameg v'yafeh lahen. Fine. Betel omnim af tahzirin. We learned in the Mishnah. Now we go to the Hazarak story. On Shabbat, we said, if the oven, if the kira is garuf, you took out the coals, but it allows you to make hazara. What does hazara mean? You took it off, let's say, you served, you did whatever you had to do from the pot of food, then you want to put it back on. If it's garuf or katum, but it says, mahzirin. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Sheshat Devreya Omer Mahzirin. According to the opinion that says, you're allowed to be mahzir, afilu b'shabbat. What do you mean Afilu b'Shabbat? What are we talking about? Making Hazara on a Tuesday? What does Afilu b'Shabbat mean? Hazara is on a Shabbat issue. So Rashi explains, it means even on Shabbat morning. What do you mean even on Shabbat morning? What's between Shabbat night, Shabbat morning? Hazara is Hazara. No, there's a big difference. At night, Friday night, it's clear Hazara is Mutar. Why? Because Friday night, you still have the Shabbat ahead of you. It's clear that you're not finished eating. So when you take a pot off, it's clear that the intention is that what? You're planning on putting it back. I mean, you still want to have food for Shabbat. So therefore, we could look at that Hazara as it's just an extension of what was happening from before Shabbat. Which is when you took it off, I'll say it like this. On Shabbat, let's look at it like this. On Shabbat, are you allowed to make hatmana, for example? Are you allowed to insulate a pot on Shabbat? No, you're not allowed to make insulation on Shabbat. Can I take a pot now and insulate it on Shabbat? Of course not. Well, if you think about it, what is Hazara really doing? I'm taking a pot, it's off the fire, I'm putting it back on. So this is worse than insulation. This is really giving it, it's giving it heat. How could that be permissible? Unless we say, listen, on Friday night, since you're really putting it back, because everybody knows you're putting it back, it's obvious, because you know you want to still eat. So Hazara, it's just considered an extension of the original heating that you were doing. It's not like you made a break. But on Shabbat morning, it can be a little more problematic. Why? Because Shabbat morning, when you take it off, it's it. You're going to have your lunch. You know, now putting it back can be perceived as a new hatmana, or a new heating, a new item. Now, to heat from fresh on Shabbat, we'd all agree, is a problem. So the chidush of the rabbi over here is the opinion that said, Hazara, it's a mutar even on Shabbat morning. Don't think it's only a missile on Shabbat night, where it's clearly it's an extension of the original fact that it was there from the beginning. And it's not considered making a new hatmana. Even Shabbat morning, it's permissible. Let's read that in Rashi, Rabotai. Mahazirin afilu b'Shabbat. Top Rashi. B'yom ha'machorat. The next day, Shabbat. The day. Ve'lo tema piluktayu mishashecha. Don't say the mahalokat b'chamay b'tilel and Hazara is only at night. Why? Ve'atamu d'sharu. And over there, we'll say on Friday night it's permissible. Why? Mishum d'muchamil ta'da'da'da'da'dure le'tzorech mahar. Because it's obvious that your intention is to put it back to use it tomorrow. Shakil avad b'yom. But in the day, lo muchach d'shakil ha'da'da'da'dure. It's not evident that you're taking it off to put it back because it's the day. Maybe I'll say ubat la'hatmana. Maybe I'll consider that the original heating is nullified. Ba'avide kimat min l'chata'ila. And now when you put it back, maybe it's considering you're doing a new hatmana from scratch. Kamash Malan, still mutar, no problem. Gemara says, Ve'af Rav Oshaya Savar, Af Mahazirin, Afilu B'Shabbat. Rav Oshaya says the same thing. Even on Shabbat, no problem, you could put the pot over there. You could make Hazara on Shabbat day, morning, exactly. The Amar Rav Oshaya, where do we see Rav Oshaya that was matir this? So now, we're going to bring a story to show us that Rav Oshaya was matir Hazara on Shabbat morning. What's the story? One time we were in front of Rabbi Chaya Rabbah, and we brought to him a kettle of hamin, of hot water, from the lower floor. It seems the kira was on the lower floor, so they took a kettle off the fire. They brought it all the way to the top floor where the rabbi was. And we poured the hot water into his cup. In the old days, they used to dilute their wine with hot water. So then we went, we poured some hot water, made mizigah for his wine. Ve'hezarnu limkomo. And then what we do? We took the kettle and we put it back on the kira. Ve'lo amar lanu davar. And he didn't tell us anything. So what do you see over here? It's mutar to make hazara on Shabbat. Only question is, where do you see that this was the day? Maybe this was Friday night. How do you know when this story happened over here? I mean, the whole purpose you need the story is, even Rav Oshaya was lenient to make Hazara on Shabbat by day. And what's the story? The kettle story. He went, he took the kettle off the thing, he went upstairs, he poured, and he went back downstairs. Friday night, what are you proving me? So, the Ritba explains here that how did this story take place here? Look at the details. The Gemara is telling you details on purpose. What do I care where he took the kettle from and where he walked it to? Is that germane to the story? He went downstairs and he took a kettle. He walked all the way upstairs. What's that necessary? Ela must be telling us like this. When you take a kettle and you walk all the way upstairs to serve it, so already it looks like you're not putting it back. It's not like he was in the kitchen and he just took it off and poured it. You know, it's obvious you're putting it back, maybe. Well, he put it away, went all the way upstairs to pour it. So even in such a case where it looks like you're not putting it back, bottom line, he still allowed him to put it back because it's considered an extension of the original heating that was there from before Shabbat. So through the same logic, by extension, we could say he would be lenient on Shabbat as well, Shabbat morning. What's the logic on Shabbat morning? Even though when you take it off, it's not evident that you're putting it back because, you know, you're finished. It doesn't matter. You could put it back because it's an extension. So the details of the story of it was on the lower floor and he brought it to the top floor. That is the key of the proof to show me that what? That even though it looked like there was Hesey Hadav, that it looked like there was a Hefsek in between the taking off, still they allowed to put it back. So to Shabbat, when you take it off, you know it looks like there's a Hefsek, an interruption, because bottom line, who says you're putting it back at Shabbat, Moish Feilin would be permissible. Amar of Zirika, Amar of Abba, Amar of Tadai. Now we give some conditions on Hazara. Lo Shena Ela She'odan Biyado. Oh. When do we say that you can make Hazara? That's only talking where you're still holding the pot in your hand. But once you put it down on the ground, finished, Asur. Why? Because that's considered already a new Hatmana. By you putting it back on, that's not Hazara anymore. That's considered you're starting from scratch. You can't start from scratch on Shabbat. Okay? That's condition number one. It's got to stay in your hands. Amar of Amir, so Rav Amir didn't like this. He says, Laftadai Da'avad, the Garmehu Da'avad. He said this for himself, which means Laftadai, that's his own opinion. We don't go like Laftadai. Who do we go like? Elahaki Amar of Hayyam, Amar of Yohanan. Afidu Nihaga Bekarka, Mutar. He says, that doesn't matter. Whether it's in your hand, even when you put it down on the ground, it is permissible. Then the Gemara is being very precise here, by the way. He says, you didn't put it down on the table. You put it down on the karka, which is a place where normally you don't leave it on the ground. So therefore, it's considered still, it's an extension. You didn't yet, take your mind off it, so to speak. It's still continuation of the original the original shiya that was there from before Shabbat. So according to this rabbi, if hiya, whether it's in your hand, whether it's on the karka, mutar. Actually, it's a machlok at this. This is what we just said. Both said in the name of Rabbi Elazar. Had amar, one rabbi said, odan biyado mutar. If it's still in your hand, you can make chazara. Agabe karka, asur. That's actually like raftadai. The Hadamar, one rabbi said, karka name mutar. No, even if you put it on the ground, it's also mutar. Amar Haskiya Mishameda Baye. Ha de Amarat. Odan biyado mutar. That which we learnt, that if it's still in your hand, it's permissible to make chazara. Lo amaran ela shidato la hazir. That's only talking when you have an additional condition. Where in your mind your intention was to put it back. So it's got to be in your hand, plus you need a intent to return. However, if it was in your hand, but your intent was not to put it back, you cannot change your mind. Asur. So the Gemara makes an implication. Miklal, da'agabe karka, afapish da'to la'azir, asur. Implying that only in your hands do we make a difference between intention to put back or not. Mashva, once you put it on the floor, even if your intent was to put it back, wow, it's too late. Wow. Which means it's got to be in your hands. Once you put it on the ground, I don't care, intention, no intention. The intention's only a factor when it's in your hands. Then we say, if you had intention to put it back. But if you put it on the ground, even if you had intention to put it back, you put it on the ground, it's over. Cannot make chazar. That's one way of learning. Ikad amni. Others learn differently. Amar Hizkiyah, Mishmed Abaye, Had Amra Al-Gabe Karka, Asur. That which we said, putting it on the ground is Asur. Lo Amaran Ela She'inda Tola Hazir. That's where we said conditions make a difference, which means it's only Asur if you didn't have intention to put it back. About that Tola Hazir. But if you put it on the ground, but your intent was to put it back, Mutar, Mikhlal, implying, Shabi'udan biyado, that when it comes to it in your hand, afapi she'enda to la'azir mutar. In your hands, even if your intent was not to put it back, it'll be mutar. So there's two diverse opinions over here. The first opinion says what? You need a condition when it's in your hand. But on the ground, it's too late. Nothing will help. Second opinion says no. The condition was made for the ground, whether your intention is to put it back. But in your hand, everything is mutar. Because bottom line, it's in your hand. As long as it's still in your hand, it's not considered a hesal. You didn't put the pot down. Comes the Gemara and says, Ba'ed of Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah is a question. Tila'an b'makel mahu. Let's say you put the pot on a peg. There's a peg hanging out of the wall. Two pegs, let's say, hanging out of the wall. You took the pot and you suspended it from the pegs. So the question is, how do you look at a peg? Is a peg considered biyado, or is a peg considered karka? It's somewhere in between. You didn't put it down on the ground, but it's still not in your hand. So therefore, how do you consider it? Do you consider it biyado, or do you consider it the karka? Gemara has another question. Hinihan agabe mitamau. Let's say you put it on the bed. You put it on the bed. Not on the table. Table, we understand, that's where it belongs. You put it on a bed. So a bed, can you consider it really? It's not his hand. So maybe we could say, it's not his hand, maybe you have a problem. But it's not the karka. So therefore the question is, when you put it on a bed, how do you consider it? Gemara has another question. Ba'er of Asher. Pinan mimiham limiham mahu. Let's say you took the pot off. Still in your hand. You had another pot. You emptied the contents of the pot, you just took it into another pot. Now could you make chazara? Which means, it's still, everything stayed in your hand, but it's a different pot. The pot, yeah, you poured from the pot that you took off, you poured it into another pot, and now could you make chazara? Which means, you still have the benefits, everything was biyado. But now the she'ela is, you're making chazara on a new, same food, new pot. Is that considered like a new Hatmana? Gemara on all these questions answers Tiku. All these questions are for Eliyahu HaNavi. Comes the Gemara, Mishnah continues. The new Mishnah. Tanur. We have a tanur. What is a tanur? Tanur is a different type of oven that's actually very narrow on top, very wide on the bottom. Probably have a picture in your Perush Chai of a tanur. point of a tanur is it retains heat more than a kira. If you remember, the kira's shape is more like a rectangular shape, whereas the tanur is wide on the bottom, right? Wide on the bottom, and it comes to like a narrowing point, let's say to the top. Right, and your pirush chai would be picture number 317. Okay? That's a tanur. Now, since it retains heat more than a kira, we're more strict. And look what the Mishnah says. Tanur shesikua bekashu begebaba. If you put straw, stubble in the tanur, lo yitin. You cannot make shiya ben metocha, whether inside, ben ma'al gabav. Now that's a very big stringency. We learned straw and stubble is not coal making items. In the kira, no problem. Shiya doesn't start. There's no coals. But by a tanur, even straw and stubble, if you fuel your tanur with that, you cannot make shiya. So there's a stringency. Next case. Kupah. Kupah is yet a third type of oven. Basically what a kupah is, it's a square. It's a square box where you could fit one pot over it. That's basically the difference between a kupah and a kira. The kira was a little longer. Kira is like a rectangular item where you could fit two pots on top. That's a kira. Kira, you could fit two pots on top. A kupah is a square where you can only fit one pot. Now, a kupah we're going to see is somewhere in between the heat of a tanur, which means it's not as hot as a tanur, but it's hotter than a kira. So therefore it's somewhere in between. So you'd say kira would be the coolest of them, tanur would be the warmest of them, and the kupah is right in the middle. Based on that, the Mishnah says, kupah shesiku bekash begebaba, if you fueled your kupah with straw and stubble, hareze kekirayim, we'll treat it like a kira, and therefore permissible. Begefet ubayetzim, but if you fueled it with gefet and etzim, with coal-producing items, hareu ketanur, it's like a tanur. Now, we don't know what that means yet. We'll see what the Gemara means. What do you mean it's like a tanur? In what sense? Gemara will explain. Tanur, Gemara. Tanur shesikuhu. You have a tanur. You fueled it. Sabah Rav Yosef the Memar. Rav Yosef thought to say, Tocho mamash. You're not allowed to place anything inside the oven, even if it's kash kebabah, gentlemen. I remember, tanur, very strict. Even with kash kebabah, certainly you cannot put things inside of it. And when it says in the Mishnah, al-gabav, it means al-gabav mamash. It means I cannot put things in it, and I cannot put things on top of it. However, Rabbi Yosef, the smoke, what is the smoke? To place it on the outside of the tanur, that's the mikat mutar. All you saw in our Mishnah is, go back to your Mishnah, boys. Tanur, shesiku bekashu begevah lo yiten ben metocho ben me'al gabav. So that's right. Metocho is inside, agabav is on top, implying what? That on the side of the oven, mutar. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says eti be abaye. Abaye comes along and says, no, Rabbi, simicha cannot be permissible by a tanur. How do you know that? From the end of the Mishnah. Let's see. Kupach shesiku bekashu begebaba. You have a kupach. You fueled it with kash and gebaba. Hareu kekirayim. It's like a kirayim. Meaning what? Mutar. Just like kira with kash and gebaba is mutar. There's no problem of shehiya. So too by a kupach. The Mishnah clearly said, with kash and gebaba, mutar like a kirayim. Next part of the Mishnah. Begefet ubayetzim areu ketanur ve'asur. When it fueled with gefet and etzim this kupah, it has a din of a tanur. Now we got to start analyzing details. The Gemara has to tell us, what's the details? Give us the case. You fueled the kupah with gefet and etzim, it's like a tanur. So the Gemara says, ha kekira shari. Which means, by telling me that a kupah with gefet and etzim is like a tanur, meaning we're going to be strict, implying that the same case in a kirah would be permissible. Let's get that good. The Mishnah tells me, you have a kupah, that's the square item. You filled it with gefet and etzim. Oh, you put gefet and etzim in there? We're going to be strict like a tanur. We don't know the details yet, but whatever it is, it's strict like a tanur. Implication is very simple, that if we're comparing it to a tanur and being strict, must be that the similar case in the kira would be mutar. We have to figure out that scenario. Bemai askinan, what are we talking about? Ilema al gabav. If we're talking about where you're placing things on top of the kupah, ubemai, then what's the case again? Ilema kesheinu garufi katum. Now we give all the conditions now. You're putting it on top of the kupah, and it's talking about where there's coals in there. So the Gemara says, "Ela kira ki ena gerufa v'ketuma al gabav mishare." Is a kira permissible in that case? Where you have eno garuf and you're placing it on top? Which means, in that case, even a kira is forbidden. So that cannot be the scenario. You got to give me a case where tanur is mahmir and kira is nekel. If the case is talking about putting it on top of a kupah that has coals in it, what did you have to jump to tanur for? It's asur like a kira. So that cannot be the case. Ela lav lismoch. So it must be talking about where it had coals in it, but we weren't talking about putting it on top, but it's talking about putting it on the side. And therefore, what is it saying? Tanur is asur lismoch, whereas kira would be permissible lismoch. And we're saying a kupah is like a tanur, that if there's coals in it, asur lismoch, just like a tanur. So therefore, veketani hareu ketanur ve'asur. So therefore, Abaye levels this question on Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef opened up the Gemara and saying, "Rabotai, a tanur mutar lismoch." That was Rav Yosef's opening line of the Gemara. Uh-huh. Abaye came along and said, "No, Rav Yosef, impossible." From the last case in the Mishnah, we see that clearly tanur has to be asur lismoch. How? Because she told me a kupah with gefen and etzim is like a tanur. And we're assuming the case is what? Well, if there's coals in it, and you're putting it on top of the kupah, what do you mean? Even a kira is asur in that case. Of course. So you're giving me a case where tanur is asur and kupah is mutar. Must be that we're talking about there's coals in it, but you're not putting it on top of the kupah, you're putting it on the side. Ah, kupah is like a tanur in that what? The smoke is going to be asur. There's your proof positive that what? Tanur is asur l'smach. Neged, Rabbi Yosef. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar Rav Ada bar Ahava. Rav Ada bar Ahava comes along, there's no proof. Hacha bekupach garuf ekatum. I can tell you that the kupach on the Mishnah is talking about even if it was garuf ekatum. If it's garuf ekatum, so what's the deen? It says a kupa is like a tanur, meaning the tanur girufa beketuma askinan hareu ketanur dafagav de garuf ekatum al gabav asur, which means we're strict by a tanur that even if you made garuf ekatum, it's still asur. Whereas if you did that by a kira, it would be permissible. The iki kira ki girufa beketuma shapir dameh. So Rav Ada bar Ahava learns the last case of our Mishnah as follows. A kupa is like a tanur. What's the case? It's garuf and katum. Oh, garuf and katum. I mean, tanur with garuf and katum. Yeah, tanur, garuf and katum. Still asur, because it's very hot still. And the kupa, we're going to say even if it's garuf and katum, it's like meaning you can't even put stuff on top. We're not discussing semicha. Don't involve semicha over here. Which is Abaye, you tried to bring a question on them yourself. Rabbi Yosef opened up and said, Tanur mutar lismoch. Rabbi Yosef says, no, from the last case in the Mishnah, I can prove you that Tanur asur lismoch. He said, no. I can tell you the last case in the Mishnah is telling you, nothing to do with simicha. You're discussing putting it on top. You cannot put things on top of a kupah, even if it's garuf ekatum, because it's like a tanur. Because a tanur, even if it's garuf ekatum, is asur. As opposed to a kira, if it was garuf ekatum, would be permissible. So therefore, Rav Ada bar Ahava really takes away the proof of Abaye. But Abaye himself clearly held that when it comes to a tanur, tanur is asur l'smoch. That's why Abaye learned the Mishnah. Jeez, Abaye learned that what? The last case of the Mishnah was talking about, it was a kupa with coals in it. And he said it's compared to a tanur. What do you mean? It's compared to a tanur? It's compared to everything. If there's coals in it, kira's also asur. No, we're not talking about putting it on top. We're talking about putting it on the side. Just like tanur is asur to put on the side, kupa is asur to put on the side. But kira, permissible. So Abaye holds what? Simicha by a tanur is asur. Comes the Gemara and says, Tanya kevated Abaye. We can bring a braita to support Abaye. What's the braita to support Abaye? Tanur shesikua bekashu begebaba. Obvious case. You have a tanur, you put straw and stubble in there. En sumchim lo. You can't make simicha on it. Ve'en sarik lomar al gabah. Ve'en sarik lomar letochan. Finished. Semicha clearly by a tanur, even with straw and stubble, asur. Ve'en sarik lomar begefetu be'aitzim. Oh, it goes without saying. If it's straw and stubble, kashin gebaba, I can't do any of these things. All the more so with gefet and etzim. I mean, I can't put it on top. I can't put it inside. I can't put it even on the outside. Now kupah, but a kupah shesiku bekashu begebaba, sumchim lo. Kashin gebaba. That's less non-producing items. I'll say you could make semicha. Ve'en notnin al gabav. Actually, the Gaon Mevilna, on that over there, it takes out the word en and says, ve'notnin al gabav. Because a kupah with kashin gebaba is like a kira. And therefore it should say notnin al gabav. You can make shehiyah, no problem. However, begefetu ba'etzim, clearly by a kupah what? En somchim lo. So therefore you see a clear braita that says, a tanur is asur l'smoch, as well as a kupah is asur l'smoch. Exact like Abaye learned the Mishnah. He learned the Mishnah that a kupah is considered like a tanur. In what case? Where you have gefet and etzim in there, where you didn't take it out, simicha is going to be asur, as opposed to a kira, where simicha would be permissible. Now you got the braita really saying the exact same thing, that simicha by a tanur is asur, as well as a kupah. Comes Gemara and says, Amar l'Rav Acha b'Rei d'Rava, l'Rav Asher. Hai kupah hechidame. What's the configuration of a kupah? Give us the story of this kupah. What is it? Ike kira dame. If it's like a kira, afilu begifetu be'etzim dame. Then, even if you put gifet and etzim in there, and you made garuf, it should be like a kira. I ketanur dame. Even you're considering it like a tanur, afilu bekash begibaba dame. It should be asur even with kashke baba, which we're trying to fit now. Where does this kupah fit in? Is it a tanur or is it a kira? If it's a tanur, everything should be forbidden. If it's a kira, we should be lenient when you made garuf. What is the kupah? So the Gemara says, well, it's like this. Amar le, nafish havla medekira. Yeah, it retains heat more than a kira. Vizutar hable mide tanur, but less heat than a oven, and therefore it's somewhere in between. Hechidame kupah, hechidame kira. What's the configuration of a kupah? What's the configuration of a kira? Amar Rav Yosef bar Hanina, kupah makom shifitat kedra achat. A kupah has place to put one pot on it, which means it's a exact square where you can put one pot over it. However, kira, makom shivitat shtei kederot. A kupah, a kira, is a rectangular, long, where you have places to put two items, two kederot. Amar Abaye ve'etim Rav Yirmiya, afana nami tanina. Actually, we learned this in the Mishnah. Why? What does it say? Kira shenechleka leorka, tehora, lerochba, teme'ah. Kupah ben leorko, ben lerochbo, tahor. We know that for something to be able to receive tum'ah, it has to be a keli, it has to be a utensil. If you break it and it's not viable as a utensil anymore, it becomes tahor. Then you cannot receive tum'ah. Now, let's analyze what this Mishnah said. If you have the first case is a kira. It has the rectangular oven, right? If let's say you split it down the middle, meaning to its length. Lengthwise. Now, if you split this rectangular lengthwise, can you use it for anything anymore?
Nope.
No, you split it down the middle. However, if let's say you split it widthwise, now you just have a, two smaller kiras.
Two single burners.
Right, two single burners. So therefore, a kira that you split down the middle like that, widthwise, it says, it's still tameh, because it's still considered a vessel. But if you split it lengthwise, ta'or. But a kupach, it says, no matter how you split it, or you split it down the length or the width, since it's a square, no matter how you split it, it's going to be taur. You took it out of its, it can't be used anymore. Therefore, let's read that statement. Kira shenehleka leorka, if you split the kira lengthwise, tehora. Lerochba teme'a. Why? Because it's still considered two small burners, like you said. Kupa ben leorko ben lerochbo. Taor. And therefore, in conclusion, kupa is right in the center. Tahor is to the left, meaning it's the hottest, and the least hot of all of them is the kira. Now, since that's true, we're going to compare kupa to tanur, and we're going to compare kupa to kira. In what sense? Well, if you put kashin gebaba, I compare it to a kira. That why just like kashin gebaba is mutar by kira, no problem of shiya, so to buy a kupah. However, when it comes to gefet and aitzim, just like by a tanur, even if you made garuf and katum, is asur, so to buy a kupah, even if you made garuf and katum, is going to be asur. According to Abaye, it's even more stricter in the sense that what? Just like a tanud, you cannot make simicha, so too by a kupah, you cannot make simicha, whereas by a kira, it would be permissible to make simicha. Baruch Amen.